Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, it seems everywhere you look these days, women are met with a barrage of anti-aging messages, whether it's cosmetic ads claiming to turn back time or social media cosmetic surgeons promoting their latest facelifts and tweakments. Now, for most of us, our changing appearance is something that we adjust to gradually over time. But for my next guest, all of that changed overnight when she suffered a devastating acid attack aged just 24 back in 2008. And Katie Piper's new book asks what it would be like if we started to view aging as a privilege and push back against a society that makes women feel less than for simply getting older. And Katie Piper, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning. Hello.
Lovely to have you with us. And I have a copy of Still Beautiful in my hands here, and it kept me awake very late into the night last night.
I'm sorry.
No, I enjoyed it so much because you know what?
Wonderful.
It's a little block of common sense, really. It's the book you want your children to read.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, like you said, in the opener of that introduction, I had that unique experience of my beauty changing at such a young age, age 24. And I turned 40 very recently. And I then experienced this reaction from society of what happens when you start to lose youth. And I realized a second time around, okay, the importance we place for women to be beautiful and to remain young is so, so strong. And ultimately, we're setting people up for disappointment, and we're telling them that's where their power lies, in something so fragile and so surface. Mm-hmm. And from my experience, it's just not true.
Well, you had the advantage, in a way, dare I say, of going through that prior to entering into your 40s. So you had the benefit and the wisdom of that experience of going through having a completely different identity after the age of 24.
Yeah, I think we all, not just women, men also, on a daily basis feel bombarded with messages from society of we are not enough and we don't fit in if we don't have a certain face, body, status, bank account. And that really kind of eats away at people's confidence and self-esteem. And actually, that's beneficial for some companies and people selling products, because if we have high levels of self-esteem, we're not going to be buying all these beauty products, needing fast fashion and, you know, being victim to whatever makes other people rich. Mm-hmm. So I found a way to develop, you know, deep confidence, inner core confidence, and that certainly wasn't going to be rocked a second time around turning 40. You know, to live longer and to still be here is definitely not a negative thing.
Well, you absolutely understand that because, you know, your experience and the health challenges that you faced, you have faced your mortality over the years many times.
Yeah, it was really interesting because as I approached this sort of significant birthday, as people call it, lots of journalists were saying to me, do you mind if we print your real age? Are you going to tell people your real age? And how are you feeling about turning 40? And I sort of found this reaction amusing. And then when I really sort of reflected on it, I found it quite sad because I thought, actually, this is inevitable for all of us. Like, getting older should be a celebration of life. And I think what we do, particularly around the decade of our 20s, we really romanticize that period of people's lives. We say it's our heyday, the best time in our life. But I think actually, if most of us look back on our 20s, it rightly so was a time for mistakes, and it was a time for experiences, and we wouldn't necessarily carry those experiences into the next decade. And actually, I think when we get sort of 30s, 40s and beyond, it's a time when we're setting boundaries, we're more assertive, and for many people, we're more financially secure. And really, mm-hmm. our heydays, actually, if we look at it, are our 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond.
Well, that's the way we should look at it, isn't it? You know,
I think so.
I was just so interested to read last night when you were talking about the pretty privilege that you enjoyed before the attack happened. And you probably didn't even recognise that that was there for you at the time, I'm sure. It was only afterwards.
Yeah, I think you're right. And when I sat down to write Still Beautiful, you know, it's a combination of a self-help book, and there is elements of it that are an autobiography because I bring in my own personal experiences. I didn't want to write a dishonest book that says, you know, it's all on the inside, that's what counts, you don't need to be beautiful to be happy, because I think you are right, there is such thing as pretty privilege, and the world does judge us on how we look, you know, it's those first few seconds when we meet people. So I definitely didn't want to write a self-help book that says, have a bubble bath, go for a run and you'll feel great, because that, you know, that isn't how the world operates.
Yeah, I mean, I just going back to what you were saying about the pretty privilege. I mean, and I don't want to give the impression, and I don't think you do either, that you came out of your recovery and you learned how to deal with what happened very quickly, because that's not true. And you're very honest about that in the book. And you talk about moving home to your parents' house, having had this great life in London prior to the attack. And your mother took away all of the photographs of you from before the attack. And you found that helpful in a way, did you?
Yeah, I think that's in context in the book. I go into that in a much deeper way. You know, that's an entire chapter in the book. But I suppose what it centres around is self-acceptance. And, you know, sometimes you have to let go of what you thought should happen and live in exactly what is happening. And I often think many of us can sort of live in the past, which is a state of depression. It's a very stagnant place with no movement, or the opposite of living in the future. It's something that might never happen, it might never arrive, and that feels like a state of anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's really important to always live in the present tense, and that takes enough energy as it is, you know, so we don't want to waste our energy on the past or the future when it's not yet arrived or indeed has gone.
And some of the treatment that you experienced from people, I found it really hard to read. I found, and I wondered how you felt writing it down. I mean, in some cases you talk about feeling invisible and people not just not holding the door open for you anymore, but allowing it to slam in your face. People who couldn't stop staring at you, people who couldn't look at you in the face. Those things are incredibly difficult to deal with, but to have to feel that you needed to write it down, what was that like?
Yeah, it was a difficult book to write. It wasn't something I wrote in chronological order. You know, I'd have like blocks of writing, come back to it, send it to my editor. And I think this is why it became a book on aging, beauty and taking up space. Because for some people, you'd think, well, you're only 41. You're still very young to many. Okay, maybe old to some, but young to many. But it was what you touched on there, this act of being invisible, which is very unusual in your 20s. And it's how many people talk about feeling when they hit menopause and hit middle age. And this, you know, feeling irrelevant and losing our power. And I want anyone who is listening right now to know that if you've ever felt powerless, if you've ever felt irrelevant, it was never you. It's these messages from society, and we don't have to adhere to it. Just like I didn't have to adhere to these beauty standards the first time around after I was facially disfigured. As I enter this new decade in my 40s, I don't have to feel less than. I don't have to feel that I don't contribute. In fact, society told me I'm no longer beautiful or powerful, but I proved them wrong, because I'm actually more powerful than some of my peer group, even though I don't tick the boxes that society tells me I should.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've taken us right into the message of the book there, that nobody can take that power away. If you're 45 or you're 50, they still can't take your power away.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's what's really reassuring. It was always us. The power was always there. It always lied within us. But we need to kind of almost tread through all this mud and kind of clear the trees and get to that clear place and support each other, lift one another up, you know. And I think men are part of this conversation too. There's some brilliant men out there and we need them on this journey, and they're our allies. We're in this together. And I think men feel the pressure too, as much as women now, perhaps.
I mean, you say men are our allies, and I get that and I accept that. But straight away, the example that pops into my head is that awful experience that you had of being catcalled on the street, which I know was a real turning point for you, but just so difficult. But again, you write about that really honestly in the book.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gender specific. I don't know the data, but I think we're all guilty of judging people by how they look. And I expect we've all behaved in a way that we might be ashamed of as we get older and have more life experience. I think it's not about criticizing people. I think it's about educating people and working together and creating space for honest conversations so we can better ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, this man, he catcalled you as he was driving past you and then saw your face and ended up throwing his food at you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know through my own charity, the Katie Piper Foundation, we do a lot of work with people who have facial disfigurements. And when we talk about the reactions that people face, whether it's dating, whether it's going for an interview, or indeed doing something that everyone takes for granted every day, like stepping out on the street, when people face negative reactions, it's because of lack of representation. It's because of fear. People react negatively because they fear what they don't see regularly. So if we can see visible difference regularly in media, on social media, in books and illustrations, we remove that stigma and that taboo and we take away that fear.
Mm-hmm. But how strong do you have to be able to cope with horrible reactions like that?
I don't think you do have to be strong every day. I don't think that's normal. I think it's okay to sometimes retreat and feel weak. And I think we all carry scars. Some scars are visible. Some people carry invisible scars and they are just as hard to bear. So I think we all have to dig deep and be resilient on different times in life. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, sometimes we put people on a pedestal and we say, oh, they're inspirational, they're brave, they're strong. And I really want people to know it's in each and every one of us, that human spirit, and we're all unbreakable and we just don't know it until we have to call upon it.
Yeah, I mean, you say that people say that to you, that you're inspirational, and of course you are. But you say we all are, because we've managed to get to this stage of our lives.
Yeah, we all are. I mean, look what we all went through collectively as a nation in lockdown and COVID. You know, if someone had told you you're going to go through this and you're going to make it, you'd be like, no, I can't do that. I can't be so disconnected. I can't, you know, sacrifice everything I've known as my everyday normal. But we did do it and we're still standing. So we need to believe in ourselves and give ourselves more credit and kind of silence that internal critic, that negative narrative and that internal voice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk as well about a lot of the value that society places on women, that it's centred on motherhood and on marriage or the happy ending. And you felt that own pressure in your life, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I really go into this in the book, that it's not just a book for women, it's not just a book for women of certain age, it's for anybody that's at a transition in their life, some kind of transitioning point. And often we get those messages, like you said, centered around motherhood or parenting, where if you haven't reached a certain goal at a certain point in life, you're failing. And, you know, that comparison is such a thief of joy, and it can send us into a state of urgency and panic and anxiety and sometimes irrational. And when we're feeling irrational, we can make decisions based on other people's achievements, which isn't the right way mm-hmm. to make big life decisions.
But I mean, you're now happily married to your husband, Richard, or Richie, as you refer to him in the book. And you have your daughters as well, which is wonderful to hear. But you had some really bad experiences when you did eventually go back out on the dating scene, didn't you, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to be so honest with people that follow my story, and I never want them to think that this is happy ending of meeting a guy or getting married and that saved me. You know, I very much saved myself, and meeting somebody that I click with is a bonus, and having children is a privilege. But you know, we can really persecute people that are single because it's almost as if they haven't had their happy ending, they're in limbo. And that's not true. You know, our happiness comes from within, and our relationships and our connection are just sort of an add-on and a part of the rich tapestry of life.
And how are things now health-wise for you? I know you talk in the book about a recent enough health scare you had around your vision and the detached retina and so on. How have things been?
I can't tell you how grateful I am every single day for my health. You know, I'm independent. I drive not very well, so stay off the roads when I'm behind the wheel. But, you know, I do everything myself and I look after my children, and there's never a moment where I take that for granted. I run a mentoring scheme at my charity, so I get to see different people with different levels of injury all the time. And for any burn survivor, treatment will always be part of their life. But but what you see in common with all burn survivors is that gratitude to be alive and to be returning back to their kind of normal. So you don't expect with that kind of injury for there to be an end point. You know, it's not like breaking your arm and having the cast off and it's over. It's something you live with. Just like many other people who might have some kind of chronic illness or chronic pain, you accept that that's part of you, but you often live with immense gratitude.
Well, it's a great read. I mean, it really is something that I think we can all learn from. And you have moments to pause there in the book. And I think the entire thing is a moment to pause, really, and just reflect on where we are and how kind we're being to ourselves.
Yeah, I think you're right. Some of us, you know, and I will say I'm guilty for this, we don't sort of take stock and we don't praise ourselves and we don't pause. And at the end of every chapter, there's this little sort of takeaway, almost like a quote and a mantra for you to reflect on and ask yourself some of those questions. So my hope is that the book's going to be a friend to people, that they don't have to read in chronological order. They can dip in and out depending on what sort of day they're having and maybe share it with a friend too.
Katie, it's a great pleasure to talk to you and thank you for joining us on the programme. Katie Piper is the author of Still Beautiful, on Age, Beauty and Owning Your Own Space, and it's available in bookshops from tomorrow. Katie, lovely to talk to you. Thank you for being with us.
You too. Thank you ever so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Back after this break.